but we'll see. We don't normally podcast the discussions. Right, so which group would like to go first? We're considering the WLE Centre as a text, as a set of texts and artefacts that presume certain practices, I guess. So, any group like to go first? So, you can go first.
We work with words, especially. It's easier to deconstruct with words.
Okay.
Because the spaces, like the whole spaces, it's not easy to get into what is the construction with a space, no? We talked about space. The only deconstructed place we've had is the entrance, which is like nowhere's land. You're not in here, you're not in there, you're like in nowhere's land, no? And I've seen people that come in and go out because they don't really know how to get along, no? And the other thing we did is like loads of things with words, no? Debbie is like a conceptual artist, and she was like taking all the pieces of the words, of the huge word, just the half of it, probably. Mm-hmm. And we have like examples of that. We have the hot desk upstairs, which is like really...
Yeah.
Strange. We have another one.
No, it's very hot in there. I've been in there.
We have another one that's there's a huge word here that finishes with rate, collaborate.
Oh.
And it's at the middle of this glass thing. Rate has the others. It's divided.
And we have also this one, like work, earn, and aid.
Yeah.
And then the other one, when the real age, and then there's a cross in it.
Okay. If you get time to post any of these in the forum, that would be very interesting to see any of the pictures.
Yeah, we were saying that probably the easiest thing is just to put the things, like to put the pieces of words, and to combine them. No, like if you have the hot desk and you combine it with that light.
Yes.
You have a whole new thing. No?
Yeah.
So how is it? Well, maybe we should come to that at the end. I was going to ask you, how do you think it might have floated free from its original intention, without knowing the author, really? To come back to what you were saying before, you don't know the author, so you are making an interpretive act on this room, and because we're being post-structuralist, we're focusing on discontinuities. It's a teaching space, but there's lots of barriers, and so it's how that gets read. But we'll come back to that, because I think we should move around. If we go around this way, to are you a group of three?
We kind of came up with different things, but I think Holly made a really interesting point about the construction. I think we dealt more with the space and what the space was supposed to be used for, and kind of came up to, and we tried to figure out if it's living up to its intention, really.
Yeah.
And in the one way, we know that this is like a learning space, an educational space. But at the same time, I think that it tries to also really emphasize its work and practice space of it, and probably more so than its educational space. And so on that level, we were saying that we think that this place works better as a workspace or a work and practice space than it does as an educational space.
Okay.
Just from the design of it, that here you have kind of constructed these areas of work that you see people working their way from this place. You know what they're working.
Yes.
From our understanding of what work looks like, that's what they're doing.
Okay.
That you have these segments of computers and editing bays, which again, more work could continue to go on here. But that as an education space, when we're convening here, that you kind of get, there's a lot of distractions to what one might construct as a formal learning environment. And obviously it's also meant to be an informal kind of learning environments, but that here we are having a conversation and discussing, but at any moment someone could come through and walk by, and our attention goes because we know we're watching that person.
Yeah.
And you know, the doorbell rings and people come in, and that they're, even the words around here, that it's very over, she used the word overstimulated, that that the words are very present, and you know, if you're trying to focus on something, you look up and you start reading over and over again, work around, you know, so.
Yeah, but I think that's what it is, because I think look at the whole theory of relativity. I think it's extremely stimulating, not at all boring. That was the difference. You know, it works for me. I would much prefer a place like this than four walls. That would bore me.
Okay.
So it's that, and I guess it's the use of words. It's at any time, whatever be the point of reference to what we're doing here. Words could mean something, depending on, I don't know, what your state of mind is at that moment.
Mm.
I also looked at Derrida, we also looked at Derrida a bit, and looking at how he talked about the value of written versus the value of speech, and whether or not this space is actually living up to its written or its actual daily practice, its kind of speech, whereas I think one of the most valuable parts of the space is the fact that it has all this technology. However, the speech on the walls, or not the speech, the written things on the walls doesn't necessarily speak to that. So I'm not sure if it's living up to that either.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much.
I'll start. But can we also discuss this education and working environment? And we're not gonna, we're just gonna, you know, continue with this thing. We noticed, for instance, that some words like experience and practice are written in bold letters, and that basically the things like immediacy and ethics are written in such small letters, especially the ethics part. And the thing is, like, you can have education, but it's also based on work. It won't go to waste in a way. It's going to be applied eventually. This is like one of the ideas we had. Another thing that we discussed was also the look of especially these two places, which look a bit like this modern art gallery thing, which also sort of reminds you of look but don't touch. I mean, something like more to admire than to actually do something. Although, I think the screensaver there said something like working with partners to develop a work-based practice. Didn't get that quite, because it's all about individual work behind these glasses and everything. And yeah, that's another thing that we discuss, is basically this whole accessibility thing, which is kind of ironic when you see the word accessibility here and you actually cannot enter. It was also very, very interesting because, for instance, when Johanna was going there, she couldn't come back, and she also had to wait for someone to press the button once again. Yeah, we sort of saw a lot of these power relations in this whole thing, like who holds the key and who can actually enter, and why is it not accessible even when you actually access the premises. Mm. So after that, so okay, you have to use the doorbell. It does remind you of the master and butler thing in a way, and it's kind of interesting that also teachers have to open the doors as well. Apart from the students,
there are like stages of accessibility, and the last one will be like this one, where it's the central rector, and it's written. It's not a big place; you can like sort it out with the central rector, but nevertheless, it's there written. So this is like power.
It is.
I agree.
So yeah, this is another issue that we discussed basically. This whole power and accessibility thing.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Did you have some more? Sorry.
No, it's kind of
okay. Okay.
We looked at the center in ideas of post-structuralism in a way that actually the space is all post-structuralist. Like, it encourages the construction, and when we look at it, it's like there is no fixed meaning. It encourages looking at things different way, like the quotations in this room behind me. There is like unlearning, and then there is a quotation we have to shake of the ancient tyranny of two misconceptions about education, that is, what is taught is learned and what is not taught is not learned. So this is, they are like shaking the truths, established truths, and this can be revealed in many things when we look around. For example, we can see the text on the glass door that is written on the both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't read it properly. When we look at the text that is written from the other side, we actually don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
what it means. Also, when we talk about power structure, like we were thinking where the power is based, and in the traditional classroom there is centered power,
mm-hmm.
like for a teacher,
mm-hmm.
but here actually the director, there is a room of central director, it's behind us, so he is like inaccessible, but actually he is accessible because
mm-hmm.
we can see him, but on the other hand we can see him very properly because these are just letters blurred,
yeah.
work and education, so it's all unclear. And also, we were thinking about this idea of author, what was the intention of the author in terms of the doorbell, because we were thinking that we know that this space is soundproof, so it allows focusing on the work and discussing things. No one can interrupt us from outside because we can't hear that person. But ironically, someone from the very outside, when he pressed the doorbell, he like distracts
yeah.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, okay, so what's the point of this doorbell? Does it have to be there? Do we have to go, for example, and open this glass door
mm-hmm.
here? So we thought, okay, so maybe it's for security, so that
mm-hmm.
no one steals these machines. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, every time when we are having sessions here, students are not closing doors, so the alarm goes on, and the people who are like monitoring it, they become insensitive because every time they can hear the alarm, they know that actually now nothing happens, simply the student
mm.
haven't closed the door. So we are like trying to establish the meaning, and it was like counter-arguments coming all the time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And the last group.
Yeah, we kind of had problems at the beginning when we were standing around here and like looking around, not really knowing where to start. So that is to say, for distraction, maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot in here.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so we decided to go upstairs in this room, in the table, and on that wall, you can't see it actually. It has a writing saying, "Tell me and I forget, show me and I remember, involve me and I understand." So we're kind of, yeah, it caught our eye, and so we decided to concentrate on that one in terms of, yeah, you need a system in order to break with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe telling and showing are these conventional, more or less conventional ways of teaching and learning, depending on what kind of learning type you are.
Yeah.
And but you only get to the real meaning when you participate and when you involve yourself, when you collaborate. Yeah. Ah, I forgot. There are two other words: integrate and collaborate. Underneath it. And only if you kind of break the old things and step out and do something actively, you're going to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
And that brought us to the effect of the writing. I mean, that was more like the content. And then we were thinking about the effect when you sit up there and try to work. Maybe you read while working. And what does it do to our work? So, yeah, because if it wasn't for the writing, it would just be a blank space of wall.
Mm.
It would just be, yeah. You could also be studying biology up there. You wouldn't know, I mean, your environment wouldn't give you any hint or direction of what you're doing.
Mm.
So we decided that it was kind of giving us a direction. You know where you're heading when you read that, actually.
Yeah.
And yeah, it encourages students to, it makes you think differently while you read it and while you work it, maybe unconsciously. And I think this is the purpose of this, especially I think of this room upstairs, because it's very quiet.
Mm.
It doesn't have that much of writing as down here. It is smaller, it's like more privacy. And yeah, while we were sitting there actually and thinking, we recognized that we were totally focused on what we should do, and we were kind of involved actually, and that it, yeah.
It was annoying when I came and said that you had to come back
down.
You were in the flow.
But we also talked about, because it's, well, we see the purpose of all this as sort of breaking with the conventional ways of thinking about learning. And it, well, for sure it does that up there, but then you look down here and there's still that a whole podium where the teacher is, and there's still students sitting, listening.
Mm.
So the environment tries to break with the conventional ways of learning.
Different spaces,
depending on
what you want.
Relation.
But still there is you know, the conventional way down here.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, yeah.
There's no blackboard though, is there? There's no
there is.
I put
but
down, it's like everything
okay,
but a classroom, basically.
Like
it's like, a meeting room.
But you can look down at the classroom.
More of
a
meeting room, yeah.
Yeah, you're above the other thing up there, kind of. You're like,
yeah.
Feel separated from this place.
And it sounds like an airplane.
It does sound like an airplane.
Yeah.
That's what my first impression of you.
Yeah, but especially with the screensaver I had on, with the aeroplane on the screensaver, the holding pattern. Yeah,
and it's cold.
And it's quite cold.
It's
cold. Like an air. So we should all wear thermal socks.
Yeah.
And kick off our shoes in future. And there should be screens in the seat backs. Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. Well, thank you for that. I mean, each group has approached it slightly differently. I mean, and of course that bears out some of what we've been discussing. Clearly, the people that invested so much money, and it's expensive, you can tell the quality of the materials is good in terms of the glass and the etching and everything. They wanted to say something, and they wanted to break with, I think that there's a group that picked up, your group picked up on the break, and yours, with a break with the traditional classroom model, a break with traditional models of learning, perhaps, and suggest some sort of future. But the discontinuity with that is that the way that some of the traditional power relations are, if anything, underlined in this space. And that to me is a fracture. And that's the kind of thing that you look for when you're applying that kind of analysis to a text, is you look for where what was originally intended has drifted. There's been a drift. Because clearly it was not intended as a space in which people would have their thinking about working and learning and educating challenged, enhanced, developed, and they would do professional development here and go back into their classrooms and other spaces and feel that they'd had their thinking challenged in some way. But it, as I was just saying, it also, by a twist of irony, it kind of exacerbates the power relations inherent in teaching by the fact of permission to enter and a doorbell and all of those sorts of things. Also, what I find really interesting about the space is that it also positions the person that's the person that's teaching is always under the impression that they are also part of they're under surveillance too.
Mm-hmm.
Either directly by whatever camera might be switched on at any time, you never know.
Mm.
So it's great if you're naturally paranoid. Thank you. I was going to mention the panopticon, but no, that's right. And some of you might be aware of that concept. I mean, do you want to say panopticon was from his book about prisons and so forth, where he was talking about the prison that was designed so that the prisoners were under surveillance the whole time and their cells were visible at all points. Actually, Victorian schools in England were designed at least partially on the panoptic model, where they had a sub-landing, a mezzanine floor, where the head teacher could survey large numbers of classrooms and teaching spaces and children in assemblies, the little panopticons. So you're never sure whether you are actually part of that surveillance.
But in that circumstance, you're more certain because you know. But I mean, the problem for this room is you don't know.
Yes,
yeah.
You so don't know.
We talked about this sort of sense of being observed from in here, but we don't know what's going on in there.
No. I mean, an awful lot of other work is going on, and the people that work here are busy, and they're not actually, you know, there isn't that aspect of surveillance. But you're right; it's that uncertainty, the fact that
it's
also,
distance.
Yeah, distance as well. And authority doesn't inhere in the person that's presenting in here.
No.
It goes with the people that designed it, with the centre director, with the original architects and writers of the text. Not with the person that's teaching in here. I guarantee that, especially for the teachers in the room, that if you were in the position of teaching in here, you would feel different to how you feel in a normal, ordinary kind of seminar room. You do feel differently about the space.
When you mentioned there's a drift of meaning.
Yeah.
Could we apply to the fact that this was a TV studio before?
Well, yes.
And it is, because that's like a complete shift. It was never meant as a learning environment to begin with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the history of it is, it was an old TV studio, an analog TV studio with tape and so forth. And so it never had daylight from that respect. So that's it. Yeah, we can't assume authorial intent for every aspect of this room, but its previous purpose has dictated what they do
to an extent. I think that's key to this space because it's the lack of windows that mean that everything around us is.
Which is why you can think that there's an observational panel from the top, the curtains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the etching was there before or not, or whether that was...
No, the entire room is new.
Oh.
All of it. I mean, the former TV studio as was doesn't exist.
Mm.
That it was designed as a TV studio. There is a full-on TV production deck up there. They can make TV programs in here, and one of the intentions of this space was to work with Teachers TV. That hasn't transpired for a variety of technical support reasons, but the meeting space is quite popular. It was interesting that you felt focused in that space. I've actually, of all of the spaces in here, that I think is the one where I feel the most sort of comfortable in terms of being able to think. It's a good space to work in. The hot desk area is I find rather claustrophobic and very hot as well. What else was I going to say? Somebody mentioned that you need a system in order to break with it. Which group said that? Is that what you were saying? You were saying that. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very interesting point. And I mean, part of what their challenge of work, learn, and educate is thinking about stepping outside of the system. The fear is that it doesn't. Like I was talking to you about it, that the worry is that that meaning doesn't come across to a teacher visiting this space. If a teacher comes in here, what do they feel? They feel one of two things. They either feel exactly. They either feel they could feel. I'm not saying they do. They could feel that it's not theirs. That it's a part of a power relation is too much weighing down them. Or they could feel re-professionalised. And I'm quite certain that was the intention of this space. Was that people went away back to their workplaces feeling re-professionalised, re-energised, having kicked some ideas around, and so forth, and not deprofessionalised. But again, the meaning in here is in what happens, you know, in the discourse in here, and it's not fixed. It could easily have drifted away from that intention. So, Yeah.
You could turn somebody away that rings the bell.
Because yeah.
Nobody's ever done that. So just next week, whoever rings the bell says, "No, sorry, you can't come."
But
that's the great.
But the history behind the doorbell is actually that it's like an expensive room and no one should enter, is it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I mean, also that this one. I mean, once you enter there, why do you have to ring another bell to enter here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if they lock up this one, okay, fine. There's all these things in there.
I can't answer for it except to say.
Got locked in that space.
Yeah.
That's like, why aren't you letting us out? There's nothing in the lobby that we're gonna steal.
I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do know that. I mean, the original idea was that they were zoned. And that your card admitted you to different zones.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the middle of a changeover at the Institute from one security company to another.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult at the moment to get cards properly issued that would allow you to do that. But
mm-hmm.
previous year groups have been able to get into at least that room. It's something that we do need to resolve.
There's nothing in here that really that is that much more valuable than something you would find in a normal classroom.
I suppose.
But
we would come in here and
you walked out the Institute with a light on the eye.
No, there is a conference thing there, which is quite exciting.
Yeah, there is.
Which one?
And listen,
we
conference
one.
Yeah. Occasionally the tea and coffee.
Tea and coffee is always, yes, just outside. Yeah.
So there's no really clear.
A key would be okay. Teach you to have a key.
And let you in. But I think the cards were the key. I mean, the cards were the things that you should...
Yeah.
And by right of certainly admission to this degree, you know, you should really have a card that you can use to get into this space.
I think it's also mixing of discourses. Like, you have this thing of security, which is connected to totally another thing, never to education.
Yeah.
It's connected to, we don't have to go further than London, I think, and CCTV cameras and everything.
No, that's right.
So it's like you have this surveillance thing and you have security, which is connected to your safety, to checking, to whatever.
Mm.
And then you have education on the other side.
Mm.
And now these two discourses are kind of mixed.
Yeah.
In this time, really.
That's right. And you're absolutely right about surveillance being everywhere. It was even I went to the fireworks on Blackheath on Saturday night, and they now put giant gantries up with lights pointing at the crowd watching the fireworks, so you can't really see them that well because the lights are in your eyes and you've got CCTV watching you watch the fireworks.
I think they were really concerned about gangs this fireworks season, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But funny enough, when we had our bags stolen at Starbucks, there wasn't any.
Just when you need it,
of all places,
it's not there.
Starbucks
yeah.
Okay. Oh, we're a little bit sorry. We've gone a little bit over the 4 o'clock deadline, but thank you very much. Say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.